Welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, Ivy the debrief and squeezing a jumper into my knitting plans. It doesn't sound like much, but I think it's going to keep us going. Hello and welcome to episode 39 of The Ordinary Knitter. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. It's been a while. It's been 3 weeks. I had the cold from hell, and you just wouldn't have wanted to listen to me, even less perhaps than you do normally, over the last couple of weeks. I could. It was just a complete mess. I've still got a little bit of the dregs, shall we say, but that's absolutely nothing compared to what I had. I also felt really ill as well. I had brain fog, and I wasn't sleeping, and three bags full. So you get the picture. But anyway, normal service is largely resumed. I couldn't knit so well when I wasn't feeling very well because I had I always seem to get sinusitis when I get a cold, and you know how that hurts in the front of your skull, and leaning forwards and looking at small stitches just when all I wanted to do was just screw my eyes shut because it all hurts so much. So my knitting progress hasn't been as good as I would have liked. However, I finished Ivy. Without doubt, Ivy is the most ambitious project I've ever undertaken so far. The scale of it, in that it was a complete item for me. The jumpers I've made for my husband have been bigger, but a lot more straightforward, and the shaping's been a lot less fussy. It was very complex. It included all sorts of elements that I had to bring together. Some things I hadn't done before, some things I hadn't done for a while. And of course, the shaping, which really wrong-footed me for a while. I wished I'd done the sleeves two at a time. I don't really know why I didn't. Sometimes the reason I don't do something two at a time, because I like to knit from both ends of one ball of yarn, if I can't find both ends, then that will stop me and I'll do the sleeves separately. But that wasn't an issue with this ball of yarn, so I don't know why I didn't do the sleeves two at a time. I had a problem with the sleeves that I've come across before. I think sleeves are they're my nemesis at the moment. I really need to crack them. And part of the problem, and this is always the worst problem to have, is I don't understand why it doesn't work. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm following the instructions. Now, I don't know whether I am misinterpreting something or whether I'm not keeping my records well enough. I mean, I can imagine now and again missing logging one row or something. If I'm just doing straightforward, you know, knit 20 rows, I use the knitting row counter on my phone. If the rows also include shaping, as clearly Ivy has done, although the sleeves, I don't remember now, but the sleeves may have included the sort of shaping where I felt I needed to write out instructions row by row, in which case I keep quite close track of that. So I don't understand. Basically, what I had was the actual sleeves from the point where you start to decrease up towards the shoulder, that stretch overall, it had more stitches in it than the armhole did. Now, I've started a thread on Ravelry. I haven't actually checked it for a couple of days now, but I was asking a question about how you measure an armhole. I've always measured an armhole. Let's say, for instance, another project, which I'll talk about, the armhole needs to be 19 centimetres from where you first start your shaping. You do a couple of decreases at the beginning of a couple of rows, and then you start a kind of, you know, regular decrease, and it needs to be 19 centimetres. Now, on every previous project, I've just measured with a tape measure straight up vertically from that initial cast off. And I found myself thinking, oh, maybe you're meant to measure round the curve. And I thought, well, would that help to explain why I've had problems? But obviously not if the problem is that there are more stitches on the sleeve than on the armhole. Going around, measuring around the curve of the armhole would just give me even less armhole to play with when it came to setting in the sleeves. So anyway, I just thought I'd ask. I've always measured straight up, but I thought perhaps that's wrong. But no, it was right. Yes, then it occurred to me, I'll put a link to this Ravelry thread in the show notes, then it occurred to me, presumably a vertical length from beginning the shaping for the armhole on the sleeve, presumably that should be that same vertical distance. Now, from my simplistic position, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it's like a jigsaw piece or carpentry or something, you know, one piece, a certain sort of sinuous shape and a certain overall vertical measurement needs to fit with the negative sinuous shape and the same overall vertical measurement. So that's my sort of idea in my head, that that's how that should work. And when I last checked a couple of days ago, nobody had replied to that bit, probably because it was just such an embarrassingly stupid question to ask that nobody wanted to dignify it with a reply. But that characterises most of the questions I ask on Ravelry. Anyway, so when I tried on Ivy, my initial think was, armholes feel a bit tight. Now, I don't know whether that's because as I had too much sleeve, I obviously had to catch that extra in regularly all the way around as I set in the sleeve. So is it just that I've got too much sleeve fabric packed in round the armhole and that's why it feels tight, or have I somehow managed to make the armholes too small on the actual body of Ivy? I'm not sure. We will find out and I'll tell you how. So I finished the overall thing, spent at least two evenings weaving in ends. I'd said all along that I wasn't too worried about the fit because that's what the ties are for. Rather than knitting ties, I bought some ribbon, and I'm really glad I did because the ribbon is, it's a lovely dark pewter grey and it works really well with the colour of the yarn. I'm glad I made it longer as well. Had I made it shorter, I just wouldn't have wanted to wear it at all. So I took it upstairs. I was also needing to just position the ties before I sewed them on, just to make sure they were in the right place. Took it upstairs, tried it on. My initial reactions are that where the two pieces cross over is a lot lower than I would like. Really, I prefer the crossover to happen sort of roughly at bra level. This is kind of under that, which in my opinion is not vastly flattering when you're a little overweight and quite busty. It can just make you look like a shapeless lump. And I know it's not the top making me look a shapeless lump, it's the weight I've put on in the last two or three years. I appreciate that, and it's not like there's anything I could put on other than possibly a corset which would suddenly, you know, give me a beautiful shape. But if I was trying that on in a shop, I wouldn't have considered it for a minute. Which was disappointing after everything that had gone into making it, but I know I'm super, super fussy anyway, and I thought, well, okay, I'll block it. You know, that will probably help. It might take some of that kind of lumpiness out. Also, being in DK, I think of DK as quite fine because I'm used to knitting jumpers off, like for my husband and for my son, I've made them in an Aran weight. Or even heavier than that. So for me, a DK seems finer, but actually by the time you've finished the garment, you've got a reasonably heavy item. The sleeves are also a wee bit too long, which is kind of disappointing. I really like the effect of the twisted rib on the cuff. I might possibly have made it a little shorter. I don't think it needs to be as long as it is, but that's purely just, that's a personal style preference, isn't it? She says, attributing style to herself. So I blocked it. Took about 2 days to dry. I tried it on again. Blocking does not do away with tight armholes. They're not so tight that I wouldn't wear it, but it would bug me. And I just thought, And then the acid test, and this is what I do with new clothing. I basically have to make myself wear it one morning. I mean, all I do on an average day is, you know, household chores, take the kids to school, do a bit of work on my own in my office. I'm very rarely ever needing to sort of be smartly dressed for external events or whatever. So it doesn't really matter what I wear one day to the next. So I thought, right, I'm just going to wear this. I'm going to put on some black jeans. I'm just going to put this top on. Well, I didn't last 5 minutes. I have to say, I was so hot. It really was. All I was wearing underneath was a grey camisole, but it was warm. I was really surprised. But I just didn't like it. I just didn't feel good in it. So my initial thought was maybe my mum would like it, which is exactly what happened with the cardigan that I made when I first started this podcast. So, because I was going to wear it to Knit and Natter, which I'd not been able to go to the previous fortnight, because I'd suddenly realised at the last minute that my daughter had a hospital appointment. When I say last minute, it was a case of ringing the school and saying, I'll be down in half an hour to pick her up. I really had complete organisational breakdown that day. So I wasn't able to go to Knit and Natter. So last week was my first time for about a month or 6 weeks because of Christmas. But I just couldn't wear it. I just wasn't happy. But I took it with me and I showed it to them and everybody made the right noises. It looked lovely on my mum. It was just I obviously have this curious mental picture of myself, even though I take measurements, because my mum she's always been slighter than me. She looked really nice in it, but she tried it on and her first comment was, well, the armholes are a bit tight. Oh, God. So what I've said I will do is take the sleeves out. Because she often wears sleeveless things. She quite likes that as a sort of useful style. I wear body warmers a lot, so I understand that. So I'll take the sleeves out and see if that works for her. If the armholes are still too tight, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with it. Put it down to experience, possibly. And I mean, it's always disappointing when you've been looking forward to having a new item and then it doesn't materialise at all or the way you want. It did occur to me also, I could try, I mean, my instinct was just to put it on over jeans because I wear jeans 360 days a year. But I have got a couple of black skirts. I've even got a couple of black dresses. Maybe it might work better with them. Of course, because it's a wrap top, you can't really wear it open. It just looks silly. Even if you did manage to do something clever with the ties to get them out of the way, it hangs wrong, which perhaps should be a lesson to me. Anyway, so overall, it's a bit kind of, well, it sort of worked, but, you know, I had trouble making it. Technically, there are issues because the armholes aren't right. If it was that the armholes are okay, I would consider redoing the sleeves. If my mum wanted sleeves, I wouldn't reconsider doing the sleeves just for me because, really, I am unlikely to wear it for myself. I had different types of grafting to do in a couple of places. I was doing regular mattress stitch with selvages. Elsewhere, I had to graft together two bound off edges. And one night, it was quite funny, really. It was the day after I had recorded the last podcast. Oh, no, was I? I might even have been ill. I know it was a Wednesday, that's why I say that. I know I wasn't well. Because I can't really remember when the cold came on properly. My husband had been away on business all day. It was a very long day. Left early, got back late. My daughter was upstairs amusing herself. My 8-year-old was in bed. And I thought, oh, lovely, I've got a couple of hours. I can totally please myself. I don't even need to pretend to be polite or companionable. And I had I listened to a history podcast called The Rex Factor, which if you're interested in history, particularly of kings and queens, I suggest you go and check that out. I'm still in the early stages. It's one of those where they've been doing it for about 4 years. They've got a lot of episodes, but being me, I'm starting at the beginning. So I thought, oh, wonderful. I was actually going to have a drink. I'll sit down, I'll start seaming all these pieces together, I'll listen to a podcast. We've got one of these lamps in our sitting room where you can it's an uplighter, but it's got one of these little dangly, angleable arms, and it's absolutely brilliant for things like this because you can just floodlight what you're trying to do. So I was all set up and the phone rang. It was my husband, who was about a half hour drive away, having problems with the radiator in his car. So I had to abandon what I was doing. Thank goodness I'd not had a drink. I had to go off and buy engine oil, and because he wasn't sure if it was engine or water. So I had to go to the garage, had to buy various things. I even had to put fuel in my car because I hadn't expected to go so far, and I'd been planning on filling up the next day on my travels. I was streaming with cold as well and coughing, and ended up spending the evening standing around on a garage forecourt while he tinkered about with his car. As it was, we ended up having to leave it somewhere and go back and get it the next day and deal with it. So that seriously blasted my lovely evening right out of the water. But anyway, eventually, you know, I got there But I've got more to do with Ivy. But right now, it's on ice. I don't really desperately need to be getting on with it. My daughter said to me the other day, oh gosh, you look really busy, you know, with your knitting. And I thought, there's a subtext to that. I said, was it something you were wanting? And she said, oh, I wondered about a jumper. I thought, oh, right, okay. So my plan had been finish Ivy with all the toing and froing involved in that. And then I've got this mystery item that I can't talk about to make. And I've got the cowl and mittens that I want to make myself for the Six Nations match that I'm trying really hard not to go on about because I'm so excited. And now I've got to squeeze a jumper in that too. Now, myself and the children are off to see relatives in a couple of weeks, and I had said to her, I will really try to get it done by then. And that was, sorry, sounds like I'm really going on about being ill, and all I had was a cold, but it just really took the legs out from under me, and it just stopped me, it interrupted me. I feel like I lost a fortnight. So now I've really got to get this jumper finished within the next fortnight. I mean, by the time we go, so if I'm doing it on Monday evening, that's fine, because we don't go till Tuesday. And then after that, that'll be, well, that's Valentine's Day, actually. Then I've got a month to get the cushion cover and the cowl and mitts done, so I'm really going to have to pull my finger out to get all that done, especially because both of those are, I'm winging it. I have an idea for a framework, but I don't actually have a pattern. I'm feeling I might just have given something away there. Never mind. So we started looking at what she wanted, and fortunately she, you know, she's coming up 15, black and grey rock. I have, as I mentioned before, I have embarrassing quantities, certainly of grey DK. I also have quite a lot of black, because I'd been planning on knitting myself a black cardigan. That's going to have to wait, which is unfortunate really, because I have a black cardigan I got from Primark about 5 years ago, and this winter I have lived in it. It's much finer than DK, but nonetheless I can't help thinking if I had something approximate in a DK, that, you know, I would probably wear that a great deal too. And this seems to be my recurring mantra, with a cardigan, fit is less critical, because you expect it hangs open, it flops around a bit, it's not so important. You're not looking for it to cross over at a certain point. The most important thing is going to be the length. Anyway, so she said she wanted stripes. So that was fine. I had the black, had the grey. But I had to say to her, you know, I've got all this DK. It has to be DK. Well, she was fine. We narrowed it down to a couple. She was interested in one by Lion Brand. They called it Classic Sparkling Sweater, but she wouldn't be seen dead in anything sparkling. So she was interested in that, just but in a, like, a black or something, and definitely not sparkly. And she wanted the sleeves a wee bit longer, but again, that's fine. Now, that lengthened sleeves, you have got to take shaping into consideration, but that's relatively okay to do. However, in the end, we settled on a design called Taylor, that's T-A-Y-L-O-R, designed by Kim Hargreaves for Rowan. When you look at the pattern image, it has quite a stand-up neck, and it has this fancy button arrangement going on at the front. They're just purely decorative. And as I could have predicted, she said, I don't want the nasty buttons. Well, that's fine. I don't want to sew on the nasty buttons, so we're in agreement there. She also wanted the neck to be less standy-uppy. But again, I said to her, that's really easy. You know, I mean, 99 times out of 100 with a neck, you're just picking up stitches round the neck and you just keep going. Because one of the jumpers I've made for my husband was originally meant to be just a bit of a stand-up neck, but he wanted a proper rollover. Fine, you know, you just keep going till it's the right length. So that was fine. Again, I think she wants slightly longer sleeves. Fine. You know, all those sorts of things I'm relatively comfortable with. However, there is one big thing that she wants that makes quite a difference to how you handle this. She wants it in garter stitch, and it's designed in stocking stitch. I had a very strong feeling that it wasn't just as simple as, oh, well, fine, just do it in garter stitch. I knew that it would affect the shaping. So I've had a look, and the simple rule of thumb, which, you know, I could have predicted, things will be shorter and wider in garter stitch than they will be in stocking stitch. So I'm paying a lot of attention to my measurements as I go. Unfortunately, this pattern uses a lot of measurements as opposed to necessarily so many rows of this, so many rows of that, and that really helps. So I'm just being quite careful with my measuring, and I'm sort of aware of where the problem areas are going to happen. I've put this in the show notes, but I found a useful little article about all this sort of thing on a page on the Twist Collective site. That's twistcollective.com. So I've now started on Taylor. I had, when I was having problems with Ivy, you may remember I was at my wit's end over the shaping. I cast on for a cardigan that I was going to make myself, but literally that I might have knitted one row. I was hardly anywhere with it. So I just ripped that out, reused the yarn because that was in the black DK. A really nice feature of knitting this jumper is I used two of the sets of needles I got for Christmas. One of them is the 3¼-inch Knit Pro Novas, and then when you've done the rib you move on to a 4mm needle, and I've got my 4mm Knit Pro Nova Cubics. So it's been really nice to use those. They both move beautifully. I have to say now, if I need needles in future, I'm not saying I'd never consider any other sort, but on the basis that I'm sticking with my Knit Pro interchangeables, which I'm not unequivocally thrilled with. I've actually had mechanical problems rather than just feeling on any way that they're not really all that great. Knitting with them per se is absolutely fine. I've just had problems, and somebody I follow on Instagram who perhaps should remain nameless, who's posted a few times recently with broken needles, and she's having the same problems that I've had. Things, wooden needles, these are breaking off at the shank. But having now knit with the Novas and the Nova Cubics, I can't see why I wouldn't now, if I need extra needles, why I wouldn't just carry on with those. I've also had a problem with one of my cables. You can see by looking that the thread is not quite right, and I emailed my contact at KnitPro, who provided me with replacement needles last year when one broke, but I haven't heard anything. Now I'm aware, I think the last time I got replacement needles sent, they came from India, so I'm allowing a lot of time for it to come from India. I'm also conscious there's been Christmas in the middle, but if I don't hear any acknowledgement even by next week, I think I'll just get in touch again to say, you know, just would appreciate a bit of an update on this, so we'll see. But between the yarn and the needles, it just all moves really nicely and really smoothly together. And knitting with black yarn, it looks nice against the metal. That sounds silly, but you can distinguish your stitches, is perhaps what I'm meaning to say. You can distinguish your stitches clearly against the needle. So that's all. It's a nice physical sensation of, that sounds very odd. I mean, I like knitting, I don't like it that much, but it's a pleasurable experience knitting with these needles and this yarn. I think also because you're doing garter stitch, which is something I've not done for a long time, it always feels to me with garter stitch and with things like moss stitch that you're going against the grain all the time. You're going against the way the needle wants you, the way the yarn is sitting, the way the stitch wants you to go. It's why I love stocking stitch, because, you know, you're, depending on how you're doing it, in the round or flat, you're either just knit the whole time, or it's knit a row and purl a row and the stitches are just facing the right way and it's all just really nice. Garter stitch feels like, you know, you're against the stream, against the flow all the time. And one of the nice things about the cubics is because they've got those, that they're a square cross section, I feel it just kind of helps in some way. So my experience so far, I'm unequivocally in favour of the Knit Pro the Nova Cubics, and I'm enjoying the Novas generally as well. I've made all of the back of Taylor, and last night I cast on for the rib, and I'm probably a couple of inches through the rib. I'm not doing the school run tonight, and I'm not taking my son swimming tonight. Someone else is doing that, so that's I don't know whether I can justify cracking on with the knitting earlier in the evening, or if I should be doing something else. Then again, as I've said before, housework and cooking and everything, it's all fine and it all needs to be done, but so does providing clothing for my daughter. So perhaps I can get away with doing that. I had not my 15 minutes, perhaps my 3.5 minutes of fame a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you listened to the Very Pink podcast. I've recommended it. But one of my, I think it's only the one question I've sent in, she read out my question and answered it. they have a bit of an ongoing sort of joke, really, that pronouncing foreign place names is a bit of a struggle. Apparently there's something, if you come from Texas, you struggle with foreign place names. And they completely mangled Herefordshire, but there we go. I was asking about the way of weaving in ends that Stacey recommends, which is following, if you want to call them this, the smiles and frowns of the wrong side of a piece of stocking stitch. And sometimes when I'm weaving through, I find I get a little loop of fabric on the outs, a little loop of yarn rather, on the outside of the fabric. And I was just asking if there's anything obvious that I'm doing wrong, but as I suspected, she was basically saying you just have to be sure that you're only going through those loops and you're not taking the needle a little bit further through than you've realized. But still, it's funny, I've had this experience before. I was listening to this question and I was thinking, God, I have that problem too. it's just the kind of question that's my question. And then she said, Heather from, well, however they said Herefordshire, here Fordshire or something. And I thought, oh, that'll be because that's me. I thought I was going to witter on for ages today because it's been so long, but I'm nearly there. I just wanted to add a new to me. I was, yes, again, it was the Stacey Perry Very Pink Knits podcast, and I learnt something, and it answered a question I'd had, talking about KnitPro interchangeables. I've never used any others, so I don't know if the same thing applies to others, but when you look at the shank of the cable, okay, not the shank of the needle so much, I don't know if shank is the right term, the corresponding bit of the cable where the needle screws in, you've got a bigger hole, and that's what you put the little key through to give you some torsion so you can tighten. There's also a much smaller hole, and I'd always wondered what it was for. Our family business has an element of manufacturing in it, and so I know a little bit more about all that stuff than I used to, and I did wonder if it was something to do with manufacturing. But no. What you can do with that is feed through a very fine yarn, and it helps you to put in a lifeline as you go along. And I thought that was really interesting. I've managed to find a KnitPicks video on YouTube showing how you do it, but my goodness, it's easier said than done. I thought I would try it. Well, I couldn't get 4-ply through. I actually pulled apart. I've got a number of shortish lengths of 4-ply that I keep in my Notions bag for if I suddenly decide I want to put a lifeline in when I haven't got full kit with me. And I carefully pulled one of these in half. I thought, I'll see if I can get two strands through. No, couldn't get two strands through. What some people do is use mental floss, dental floss. And I can understand why you would, because obviously it's got a little bit of structure and resistance to it. It doesn't kind of go as yarn does in the face of actually having to go through a hole. I haven't tried it yet because honestly I'd got to that point where I thought, no, it's fine, it's fine. Lost patience completely. But I can see how using dental floss would help. It might make your knitting smell a bit minty fresh, but maybe that's no bad thing. But I thought that was really interesting. So if you use interchangeables and you have that teeny little hole on your cable, that is what it's for. I can see the appeal when you take a lifeline through your knitting, as I did on the back of Taylor just before I started decreasing for the armholes. I just thought, you know, because I know I'm starting to get anxious about armholes now, and I thought if I put the lifeline in there, then if it comes to it and I have to rip back, well, there we are, I can do it. If it comes to it and I have to rip back, my daughter will not have this jumper by the time we go away, but there we are. I only said I'd do my best, I didn't promise. So I can see how having it through the cable avoids any issues of catching the yarn. As you take lifeline yarn through on a tapestry needle, however careful I am, I always end up slightly catching one or two of the needle of the stitches as I go through, which is a real pain. Although, having said that, I've never had a problem removing the lifeline when it comes to it. I put a couple in on Ivy as well, and I knew I'd caught stitches once or twice, as I say, despite being careful, but it when it actually came to pulling the lifeline out, it just came out like a lamb. So yeah, no long-term problems. So that's quite interesting. Have you tried doing that? Have you found that dental floss works? I'd love to get questions and comments, so I'd love to know what your experiences have been. When I go away in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be quite near Exeter, and I'm hoping to pop into the little wool shop. Again, it's one of those weekend or few days where I'm sort of galloping around with family, and I'm not necessarily going to be able to say I want to go here and I want to do that. So I can't be sure, but I would really love to. So hopefully I can give you a flavour of what that's like. Obviously that Tuesday, this is 2 weeks' time. There won't be a podcast, but there should be next week, all going well. So thanks very much for listening. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye.